Welcome back. It's 1144, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And on Tuesday mornings, I like to get together with David Keene, Washington Times opinion editor, and talk about not only his column, but some other issues. Today's column, though, is entitled Villainizing the Koch Brothers. I guess the sport of picking a target and picking it apart isn't just for vultures anymore, huh, David?
No, it isn't. The Democrats this year really are sort of pining for the 2012 race, where they decided to demonize Mitt Romney as this billionaire capitalist vulture who didn't care about workers, didn't care about people. And the reason they did that was because they knew going into 2012 that their candidate, Barack Obama, was going to lose a lot of the votes that he had gotten in 2008 because it turned out he wasn't the president that they believed he was when they voted for him. And in fact, he did lose 6-7 million votes. And what they decided to do was to run a campaign which would end with voters concluding, well, we don't necessarily like this guy, Obama, but the other guy, Mitt Romney, is worse. And that's how he won that race. And at this point, with his numbers in the tank, with everything going badly for him and his party, Democratic strategists are saying, you know, maybe we can run that race again. Maybe we can make David and Charles Koch into Mitt Romney, and then we can run against Mitt Romney all over again. I don't think that's going to work, because even if they manage to convince voters around the country that the Koch brothers are bad guys, even if they got voters around the country to recognize them, the reaction would be, okay, if they run in our district or in our state, we'll vote against them. But that's not what you're asking us to do. So it's really a strategy born, I think, at least, of desperation, and it's a sign that they don't have a plan A if this is their plan B. But they're going to keep it up because it may be the only thing that they have. They're trying desperately to change the subject so that the off-year elections this fall won't be a referendum on Barack Obama, but on something else.
Yeah. Don't you think Harry Reid has taken it to the next level, though, by slamming the Koch brothers on the Senate floor and doing it for the third time in 3 weeks? I don't know if he caught it, but yesterday he did it again. And yesterday he said it's a wonder Republicans aren't wearing a Koch Industries label on their suits.
Yeah, he likened it to NASCAR.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I guess we could think of some labels we could put on Harry, too. You know, this is a senator who is over the top. You remember that during the Romney demonization, he stood up on the Senate floor and said that Mitt Romney hadn't filed his taxes, he hadn't done all these things. Turned out to be just made up of whole cloth. And because he said it on the Senate floor, there's not a lot you can do about it because they have immunity on the floors of Congress. But Harry Reid is someone who has no necessary connection with the truth on almost anything. You'll recall that it was Harry Reid who said that anybody who criticized Obamacare was making it up. That hadn't happened. But on that one, he had to apologize. But on this one, he's not going to. He's going to double down. He's going to keep going after the Koch brothers because he thinks that might help. I could give him a little advice. You know, I know a lot of Republicans who thought they could run against George Soros. Remember George Soros? He's still around. He still gives millions and millions and millions of dollars to liberal causes and to Democrats. And I can't recall any race that a Republican won because of George Soros.
Yeah. And now the new brothers are the Steyer brothers, evidently, and there are TV ads out already taking Harry Reid's audio and video from the Senate floor and incorporating those brothers instead of the Koch brothers into his dialogue. It's very, very funny. It's very funny.
Yeah,
whether or not it's effective, who knows?
But. Yeah, it's not effective. It may be effective in convincing some of these guys that this is not the way to go. You know, when Harry Reid and his friends and some of their candidates who will pick up on this and already are keep talking about Charles and David Koch, at the end of the day, voters are going to say, well, A, they're not running, and B, we don't have jobs. And so what are you going to do about that?
Mm-hmm.
I think that any attempt to change the subject in the way they're trying to change it is really a dream in their mind that's never going to come true.
Yeah. That's not Harry Reid calling you in the background, is it?
Right. To complain.
All right, so in the end, it's a move made out of desperation.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I made the point in the column, because we've all been through this, if you get fundraising letters from the right or the left or wherever, the people that are sending you the fundraising letters have to have a villain. And then what happens is that there's a great likelihood in both parties that you start believing the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And if people will give you money because they don't like the Koch brothers and you don't like the Koch brothers, well, maybe people will vote against them.
Yeah.
But when you start confusing your most rabid activist supporters with average voters, you're on the way to losing.
Mm-hmm. All right, before I let you run, two more executive orders on the way. It looks like the president will sign these on Thursday. It deals with equal pay for women. I guess this is another war on women campaign heading into November, and he wants to be able to tout what he's done?
Oh, that's exactly right. And he's doing anything he can to show that he's the champion of women and that Republicans, evil as they are, just hate women. And, of course, that's a hard one to sell. And this whole thing, the at this point in our history, and there was a time when there was a huge disparity in income between men and women in the same jobs, but there's been a number of economic studies of the so-called disparity. The allegation is that women receive 77 cents per hour versus compared to every dollar that men receive. But all of the economic studies show that when you control for the kinds of work and all of the different things that are involved, that there isn't much disparity. And in fact, today, as most Americans are beginning to realize, most college graduates are women. Women are rising and are CEOs of major companies and major institutions. And really, this is Barack Obama talking about an America that no longer exists, if it ever did, which he'd like to translate or change into a Europe that he thinks exists, which doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Jeb Bush, his act of love comment regarding illegals in our country, sounds like amnesty is on the way. Did those comments do him in?
I don't know that they did him in. I don't know that that Jeb Bush, even though he's a viable presidential candidate in the minds of some large establishment contributors, is really a viable presidential candidate. He's a good guy. He's a nice guy. He is the most conservative of the Bushes. He was a very good, if not great, governor of Florida. But his name is Bush. And the way they're going about it makes him even less acceptable, I think, to the base of the party. I said only half facetiously a month or so ago when they first started mentioning Jeb, that if the American voter wakes up this fall, or next in fall of 2016, and realizes that he's got a choice between Clinton and Bush, there'll be millions of people slashing their wrists all across America. I mean, we really have to move on. And I think that that's his biggest problem. If, with his record, if his name were not Bush, and that's just a fact of life, and if we didn't have all of the baggage that entails, he would certainly be a viable candidate. I don't know that he'd be nominatable, particularly with the positions he's now staking out. But I think he'd be more viable under those circumstances than he will be being named Jeb Bush.
All right, and finally today, Al Sharpton, an FBI snitch.
So remember Jackie Presser with the Teamsters, who was an FBI snitch when he wasn't actually an FBI target. And I think the same might be true with Al Sharpton. This is a guy who, if there were justice, might, instead of just being a normal FBI snitch, would have to be a jailhouse snitch. So, you know, wonders never cease in this land.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? All right, folks, if you haven't read David's column today, please do it, Villainizing the Koch Brothers. It's front page of the commentary section of the Washington Times. David, always good to talk to you. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks.
11:53 at 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.